Dr. Balagay here. This podcast is one in a series of 10 podcasts on the topic of falls in older adults. It's from an outstanding chapter in Balagay's textbook of internal medicine, available at www.mastermedfacts.com. After completing this series of 10 podcasts, the listener should have a solid foundation in managing falls in older adults. This podcast is derived from an outstanding chapter authored by Dr. Sarah M. Bradley, who is an associate professor of medicine and geriatrics at the Feinberg School of Medicine at Northwestern University, Chicago, Illinois. Prior to this, she was an assistant professor of medicine and geriatrics and palliative medicine and the co-director of the Integrated Internal Medicine Geriatrics Clerkship for third-year students at the Mount Sinai School of Medicine in New York. The senior author is Dr. Reena Karani, MD, MHPE, who is the Senior Associate Dean for Undergraduate Medical Education and Curricular Affairs and Professor of Medical Education, Medicine and Geriatrics and Palliative Medicine at the Mount Sinai School of Medicine, New York. Her clinical interests include care of hospitalized older adult, perioperative management, and consultative models of care. Multiple choice question. A 91-year-old man with a history of high blood pressure, Parkinson's disease, osteoarthritis, and gastroesophageal reflux disorder presents for outpatient evaluation of increased fatigue. 2 days prior to the visit, the patient fell at home and his aide helped him to get up from the floor. The patient's medications include Prilosec, Tylenol as needed, Carbidopa, Levodopa, and Metoprolol. Which of the following is likely to yield the most useful information regarding the patient's fall? A. Chemistry panel, B. Vitamin B12 level, C. Postural blood pressure, and D. Complete blood count. And the answer is C. Postural blood pressure. The older adult in this question presents with fatigue and a recent fall. As a part of the fall risk evaluation, an assessment of patient's medications is critical as polypharmacy and high-risk medications increase the risk of falls. This patient is taking carbidopa, levodopa for his Parkinson's disease, and postural hypotension is a known side effect of this medication combination. While the other answer choices may be useful at some point in the assessment of this patient, postural blood pressure will provide the most useful information regarding the most recent fall and the patient's fatigue. Multifactorial intervention for fall prevention includes identifying the risk factor, and for the risk factor, there is a provider intervention and is a component of patient education. For example, in polypharmacy, where the patient is taking more than 4 medications, the provider intervention includes review and reduce medications at every visit. Particularly psychotropics suggest non-pharmacological treatments such as diet and exercise whenever possible. The patient education component for polypharmacy includes keep an updated medication list, including over-the-counter medicines, and bring it to every visit with all healthcare providers. Use a pill box to avoid medication errors and take vitamin D 800 international units daily. For poor balance as a risk factor, provider intervention includes refer to physical therapy for strength, balance, and gait training. Recommend Tai Chi. Prescribe an assistive device such as a cane or a walker and review the patient's use of it. The patient education component for poor balance and gait instability includes: use the assistive devices prescribed, wear shoes that cover the entire foot with a thin sole and a low heel, consider an emergency call device to use in case of a fall. For the risk factor of postural hypotension, provider intervention includes: check orthostatic vital signs, reduce medications that may contribute to postural hypotension, and liberalize salt in patient's diet. Patient education component for postural hypotension includes: drink sufficient water every day, take your time in changing positions, and try compression stockings. For vision impairment as a risk factor, provider intervention includes: ask about vision problems such as difficulty driving, watching TV, or reading due to poor vision, test visual acuity, and consider ophthalmology referral. The patient education component includes: have your vision checked, do not wear reading glasses when walking. The last risk factor is environmental hazards. The provider intervention is: do a home visit or refer to visiting nurse to assess home safety. Give patient or caregiver checklist to assess home safety. The patient education component for environmental hazards include: make sure home is well lit and use night lights. Install handrails on both sides of the stairs and grab bars in bathrooms. Use bath mats or non-slip strips in the bathroom and remove slippery throw rugs. Exercise is one of the most commonly prescribed intervention to prevent falls in community dwelling older adults. A meta-analysis found that multiple component exercise programs done in groups or individually in the home decrease fall rates by 22% and 44% respectively. Tai Chi group exercise, which involves balance and strength training, was also found to decrease fall rates by 47%. For any exercise intervention to be effective, however, it needs to target at least two or four components, that is strength, balance, flexibility, and endurance. Another meta-analysis found exercise interventions are most effective in preventing falls if they include a higher dose of exercise, exercises to challenge balance, and do not include a walking program. Interventions targeting medications have also been shown to decrease fall risk. Withdrawal of psychotropic medications in adults over age 65 has been shown to reduce the rate of falls by 66%. An intensive prescription review program that included prescriber education, medication review, feedback on prescribing practices, financial incentives, and a medication risk assessment completed by patients was shown to reduce the risk of falling by 39%. Additionally, several studies have shown that vitamin D supplementation can prevent falls, and guidelines recommend vitamin D 800 international units daily for all older adults at risk of falling. Which patients are most likely to benefit from vitamin D supplementation and the ideal dose and target serum concentration still remain controversial. However, the number needed to treat with vitamin D to prevent one fall is estimated at only 15%, and adverse effects such as hypercalcemia are rare. Non-surgical vision correction may actually increase rather than decrease fall risk. However, expedited first cataract surgery has shown to prevent falls. In one study of women over the age of 70, randomized to early cataract surgery within 4 weeks versus 12 months, the intervention group had a decrease in fall risk by 34%, recurrent falls by 40%, and the relative risk of fracture by 67%. A significant decrease in disability and improved quality of life was seen within 6 months, and the number needed to treat with expedited first cataract surgery to prevent one fall was only 19%. Another surgical intervention, that is pacemaker placement, has been also shown to reduce rates of fall by 58% in specific patients with carotid sinus hypersensitivity. Home hazard interventions reduce rates of fall in patients at high risk of falling, with the guidelines recommending home safety interventions for those with a history of falling or other fall risk factors. Such interventions include assessment of a patient's home to remove area rugs, clutter, and other things that contribute to fall risk, and implementation of safety measures such as grab bars or improved lighting, a non-slip shoe device that can be worn in icy conditions is another safety intervention that has been shown to reduce rates of outdoor falls by 58%. This podcast on falls in older adults was from an outstanding chapter in Baliga's textbook of internal medicine, available at www.mastermedfacts.com. It's from an outstanding chapter authored by Dr. Sarah M. Bradley, MD, who is a faculty physician at Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine, and Dr. Reena Karani, MD, Senior Associate Dean and Professor of Medicine and Faculty Physician at the Icahn School of Medicine, Mount Sinai, New York.